It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
If you've been following along on It's a Good Life, you know that I've been speaking about the local church social club. And last time I left off with talking about modern-day thinkers. These modern-day thinkers would use the terms evangelicalism, new evangelicalism, neo-evangelicalism. These terms are not scriptural. And I left once again off with speaking about your pastor. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20, it says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils." Well, you're probably thinking, as I said the last time, that you're probably thinking my pastor could never lead my church astray. My pastor would never say or do anything contrary to the Word of God. My pastor may quote from some of those evangelicals mentioned, and I mentioned these before, but he does not agree with anything they say or do. My question to you is this, to your answers and others you might have is this: how do you know? How do you know? Are you blindly following a man because what he says sounds good, or are you following "thus saith the Lord"? In other words, in God's Word. I would also ask you, does your pastor meet some of the qualifications that I'm going to mention right now? Now, I mentioned a couple of these last time, but let me mention them again. New evangelicalism is characterized by repudiation of separation. This means that you stand on the Word of God and you do what God wants you to do. You look like a Christian, you act like a Christian because you are a Christian. Another thing that we need to look at is, does your pastor in new evangelicalism, is he characterized by replacing separation with dialogue? In other words, everything is all right. We're doing everything good. Just stay calm and do what I say. New evangelicalism is characterized by love for positivism, by a repudiation of the more negative aspects of biblical Christianity, by a judge not philosophy, by a dislike of doctrinal controversy. In other words, they don't stand up for the Word of God. New evangelicalism is characterized by exalting love and unity above doctrine. It's all right, just as long as we get along and love each other. New evangelicalism is characterized by a pragmatic approach to the ministry. New evangelicalism is characterized by a desire for intellectual respectability, by pride of scholarship. In other words, look how many initials I have after my name. Look how smart I am. New evangelicalism is characterized by an attitude of anti-fundamentalism. New evangelicalism is characterized by an inconsistency, by contradiction. New evangelicalism is characterized by the division of biblical truth into categories of important and not important. In other words, this may have been good for the old people, but it's not good for us today. We live in a different time. New evangelicalism is characterized by exalting social political activity to the same level as the Great Commission. In other words, we pay more attention to who's running for office than we do of the one who has come to save us, Jesus Christ. New evangelicalism is characterized by a mood of softness, a desire for a less strict Christianity, a weariness with fighting, a neutrality towards spiritual warfare. God help us not to stand for the things that I've just mentioned. God help us to stand against those things. The apostles were not new evangelicals, and they were not afraid to speak out against wrong. Regarding false teachers, they gave the following instruction: mark and avoid them, according to Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Come out from among them, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Shun their babblings, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Turn away from them, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Reject them, Titus chapter 3 and verse 10. Do not receive them, nor bid them Godspeed, 2 John 10 and 11. How to guard against lukewarmness. Guard the wall. I touched on this earlier in Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 12. It says, set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. And once again, Babylon in this verse refers to the world system and is a representation of sin. Do not let the world standards dictate how God's local church is to be built. The local church is not to be built upon promotion, games, fellowship, amusements, or anything else that takes away or detracts from the preaching of the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Guard the wall, stand fast. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 13 and 14 says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." Proclaim biblical separation. The lukewarm local church, social club, will tell you that when someone speaks of biblical separation, they are really only trying to put you under the law. Or the lukewarm church, social club, leaders will say you are at liberty to do anything you want as long as you are not convicted of those things. After all, as a Christian, you have been set free. Well, sometimes leaders of so-called Bible-believing local churches will tell you those who preach and teach biblical separation, in other words, being different than the unsaved, are preaching and teaching legalism. My Bible, King James Version, tells me in the book of Galatians that I have been set free and that I am not to use my liberty as an occasion to sin. Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That's the bondage of sin. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." We as Christians do have liberty and are not under the law. The law, the Ten Commandments, was not given to save us, to keep us saved, or for us to get points with God. The law was given to us as a schoolmaster to help teach us right from wrong and to show us we need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. I am saved, set free from being a slave of sin, and I am now a bond slave of the Master Jesus Christ. Biblical separation is not a preference. Biblical separation is more than a conviction. Biblical separation is a command of God from the Bible for His people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Well, in that verse, God is not talking about keeping the law to be saved. The law is a schoolmaster showing people their need of a Savior. God not only wants us to know we are saved, He also wants people around us to know we are saved. Now, accepting God's Son as our Savior brings honor and glory to Him. Honor and glory is also brought to God when we, and that's Christians, dress modestly and have an outward appearance that is pleasing to Him. Why? For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. Modest clothing and proper appearance reflect what God has done for us on the inside. We are to show that we are saved and have a personal relationship with Christ with our appearance, actions, words, and deeds. What the Bible speaks of is biblical separation. Saved people are to be separated from the world's humanistic philosophies and the world's refusal to accept the standards of God. When you do right, you are in a right relationship with the Lord. People look for Christian fellowship with other believers, and what they really need is godly fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Do you feel alone? Do you as a Christian yearn for fellowship? Then quit looking to the flesh and look to the Lord for a right relationship with Him. Get things right with the Lord, and then you can have real fellowship, real worship with the Lord and other believers. John chapter 4 and verse 24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." When a church stops worshiping God in spirit and in truth, that church becomes lukewarm. Remember, God says a lukewarm church makes him sick to his stomach. Revelation 3:16 says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Biblical separation cannot be maintained without a real campaign. A separatist stance will only be maintained on purpose and at a cost, but it is worth it. Sometimes other Christians will shun you when you take a stand for God. Keep going. Sometimes Christians will say or think unkind things about you when you take a stand for God. Keep going. I would rather stand for God than to stand for a lukewarm church, local social club. I would rather stand for God than to stand for a man who twists the word of God. My allegiance is to God, not to some building or to some man's popery in operating a local church under false pretenses. Keep this in mind. Biblical separation is not the gospel, and it is not the work of the ministry. It is a divinely ordained wall of spiritual protection against apostasy and the world. To reject biblical separation is to tear down this wall of protection so that God's people are no longer kept from the heretics, good words, and fair speeches. Heretics will deceive the hearts of the simple if the wall of separation is torn down. Romans chapter 16, verse 18 says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." I believe it takes prayer. Guarding against lukewarmness in a local church really is a matter of spiritual sense. Everything we do needs to be bathed in prayer. We need to pray as Daniel did in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. And he said, "And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." We need to always be in the attitude of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We need to pray with the attitude that God will hear us. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." We need to ask the Lord to teach us how to pray. Luke 11:1 says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Christian, keep praying for your pastor. Keep praying for your church family. Pray that your pastor will be guarded by God against the wiles of the devil. Pray for his physical and spiritual health. Pray for his family. Pray for that he will stand on the word of God and not be swayed by the changing times. Love the Lord. Psalm 26 and verse 8 says, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." Psalm 97:10, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." Psalm chapter 40 and verse 16, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." Do you know him today as your Savior? If not, you need to trust him. And Christian, if you're not serving him, you need to serve him. Get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Take God at his word and use his word to help others know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I pray that you belong to a good, Bible-believing, local church that's standing and preaching the Word of God.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.